General housekeeping information. Based on recently passed California state legislature and the governor's signed assembly bill AB 361, which amends the government code to allow Brown Act bodies to continue to meet remotely if there is a proclaimed state of emergency and that state or local officials recommend measures to promote social distancing, the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board will temporarily provide virtual access through a webinar and or call-in option. Interested parties have been noticed of this virtual hearing board meeting and have been provided instructions on how to participate. Members of the public are afforded an opportunity to speak on any agenda item before its consideration. Persons wishing to speak may do so remotely via Zoom or telephone. To provide public comment via desktop, laptop, or smartphone, click on the raise hand button at the bottom of the screen. Or if participating via dial-in telephone, press star 9. This will signal to the host that you would like to provide public comment, and you will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. Persons may address the hearing board on any matter listed on the agenda via telephone or Zoom connections. Matters not listed on the agenda may be addressed during the public comment period of the agenda. Thank you, and that concludes the housekeeping.
All right. So this is Terrence Dressler. I am the chair of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board, and I will call to order this meeting of the hearing board on May 4th, 2022 at approximately 9:31 a.m. Lorena, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Colomay?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mr. Peters?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Saperstein?
Present.
And Chair Dressler?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, the first item of business is the reconsideration of the circumstances of COVID-19 state of emergency. Will the clerk please read this item into the record?
Reconsider the circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. One, reconsider the circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. Two, consider whether state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. Three, find that the legislative body has reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency and that state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. And four, direct staff to continue to notice and hold hearings as remote hearings consistent with Government Code Section 54953E3.
All right, Maria, do you have a report for us?
Yes, the state of emergency is still in existence and Dr. Anstorek still recommends social distancing. So that has not changed.
All right, is there any discussion among the board members? All right, I'll open public comment. Is there any public comment?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comment.
Okay, I'll close public comment. What's the will of the board?
This is Mr. Cox. I make a motion to continue virtual for now.
Do I have a second?
I will second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Miranda, please call a roll.
Dr. Colomay?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. On the next item, announcements, staff reports. Are there any announcements or staff reports?
Chair Dressler, I think we skipped over the approval of the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's true. Is there any discussion about the minutes? Can I get a motion to approve the minutes for the last meeting?
Chair Dressler, I move the minutes.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Lorena, please call the roll.
Chair. There are a number of minutes to be approved.
Okay.
They're not just from The agenda shows the January 5th minutes, February 2nd minutes, March 2nd minutes, April 1st, and April 21st.
All right, we'll
Chair Dressler, I'll modify my motion to include all of the minutes listed in the agenda.
Second. And the second concurs. Lorena, could you please now call the roll?
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Now, does the staff have any announcement or staff reports?
Good morning, Chair Dressler and members of the hearing board. The staff does not have any updates for the hearing board.
Okay. Then I'll go on to the next item, which is public comment. I will now open public comment for any item that's not on the agenda. Do we have any public comment for any item that's not on the agenda?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comments.
Hearing none, I will close public comment period. Now it's time for the next item is for public hearings. There's one case today. Will the clerk please read that item into the record?
Public hearings, item F1, case number 2022-03-R. To consider a petition for regular variance from District Rule 206 permit to operate 13862-R2, conditions 1A, 6, 7A, and 7C, submitted on March 17, 2022, for continued operation of the cogeneration engine. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at the City of Santa Barbara El Estero Wastewater Treatment Plant, located at 520 East Llano Nali Street in Santa Barbara, California.
All right, so now we're gonna do the administration of oath. I would like any witnesses that including district staff, members of the public that are going to make sworn testimony on this item to take this oath. When I ask for the oath, I'd like you to raise your right hand and after I've read your oath, I would like you to state your name and then affirm the oath. Do you solemnly swear to affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Let's start with the applicant.
This is Joe Silva, California Power Partners, Santa Barbara. I do.
Caitlin McNally with the district. I do.
Amy Long with the district, and I do.
Is that everybody? Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask the petitioner from the California Power Partners, Santa Barbara, to make their case. Please, Joe, during the report, be sure you include enough evidence for us to make all the six findings. I'm going to kind of go over them briefly just to remind you. The first finding we have to make is that you are or will be in violation. The second finding has to do with that the non-compliance is due to conditions beyond reasonable control, and that requiring compliance would cause the unreasonable taking of property or the closing of a business. That the closing would be without a corresponding benefit to reducing air pollution. That curtailing operations was considered in lieu of obtaining a variance, and that during the period that the variance is in effect, the emissions will be reduced to the maximum extent feasible. And the sixth finding is during the period of the variance is in effect, excess emissions will be quantified, monitored, and reported to the district. Again, before you start your presentation, Joe, please state your name.
Joe Silva.
You may proceed.
Okay, so I'm going to put up a PowerPoint presentation, and hopefully we can get something going here with that. Let's see here. All right, screen sharing. Okay. Okay. Do we have a, are you able to see that on your screen?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a petition for, I think it's called a regular variance or a standard variance. Back in 2003, California Power Partners was awarded a contract with the city of Santa Barbara to put in a renewable cogeneration system in the El Estero wastewater treatment plant, which runs on biogas. And so what I'm gonna do is show you the site. You'd see where the cogen system has been installed. It's right next to the two old, the two older looking digesters are the actual methane digesters, and so what the plant gives us is what I will do here is I'll try to explain. Okay, so we have the four parts of our cogen system. On the left, you see the fuel treatment system. The fuel treatment system brings in methane from the digesters and runs it through a filtration system, which removes H2S and all the other contaminants that's found in a siloxane and moisture, and cleans that up. And by the time it gets into the engine compartment here, it is clean, dry gas. The problem we had during this last variance here, this last issue with the failure, is that what happened to us was the pandemic that occurred back starting in 2019 cut everybody off from traveling, cut the school campuses off from being in school, and the city staff confirmed that effluent coming into the wastewater treatment plant had been reduced to 20%. By 20%. The result of that is that we were running at a certain flow, a certain, 100, let's just say 140 SCFM of biogas. That means that's SCFM per minute. But when the pandemic hit, we had less gas than normal. The result of that was that lower gas, a lower gas production caused us to not run the engine at the optimum level where the engine manufacturer had guaranteed emissions if we could run at 400 kW, and we can't right now because of the lack of fuel that's coming in through the plant. So I'm going to, the affected equipment is that generator that you see here. This is a biogas as part of the wastewater treatment plant process that utilizes biogas as the primary fuel source to convert biogas to electricity. And fuel may be supplemented up to 25% of natural gas. This is limited by the California Energy Commission and district permit. This is a California Energy certified renewable project. So I can't blend more than 25% to keep that classification. In addition to that, the background was the source testing was conducted on the 27th, and all results, passing results were not achieved on these two items, NOx and CO per pound per MMBTU. All other parameters required by the permit passed, including NOx with under up, point, parts per million, and CO parts per million. Those passed. These two did not. It's a direct reflection on the efficiency of the engine running at a lower operating speed because of the fuel that we have. In addition to that, the plant was doing, in January, the plant took down one of the digesters for maintenance. We lost some of the fuel flow in that process too, as well as they did not know, they later told us that they gave us really poor quality gas out of that empty digester, not knowing that we were having a source test. So the result of that was typically that methane content is normally 61%, and the BTU value of good biogas is normally north of 600 BTUs per cubic foot. we were operating our source test at 55% methane and 562 BTUs per standard cubic foot. That's really poor quality gas. And we were not aware of it. And during the source test, that's the reason, those two reasons are why we failed the those two parameters. So until the biogas increases and the engine cannot operate within the range due to insufficient gas production, the resulting would be, if we continued source testing it over and over again, we would still see the similar results. The digesters, the one digester now has been completed. It is coming back online. And based on that, they do digester maintenance about every 5 to 6 years at Del Estero. So this is a problem. It's just a matter of managing it and when to conduct our source test, basically. So these are the six findings. The applicant rule, we didn't pass these two, this one rule. So I'm kind of stammering here, I'm sorry. So two implicit findings: operation under variance is not a nuisance. If we operate, it's not a nuisance. And other requirements to guarantee expeditious compliance with emission standards or increment of process. So finding number one shows us that we're in violation of rule 206, our NOx permit limit per MMBTU is at 0.183. We reported 0.221. CO was 0.549. We reported 0.639. This is the MMBTU. Like I said before, the PPM requirement for NOx and the CO passed. It passed on the source test. So we have all the best control technology available on the engine. We've been running 8 years and passed every test for 8 years. With the technology still installed, the back rates are unable to receive emission rates are unable to be achieved due to low biogas flow and poor gas quality. So condition 7A requires an annual source test. Repeat source testing will result in similar results. And condition 7C requires compliant source testing. Source testing indicated exceedance of the NOx on those two emission levels. Finding two, decreased biogas flow due to cogeneration is attributed to the COVID pandemic and the governor's emergency order to stay home, decline in tourism, and the temporary closure of the University of California, Santa Barbara caused parts of this. The decline caused a significant decrease in volume of biogas generated. And immediate compliance would put CalPAR in breach of a contract. We have a 10-year contract with the city of Santa Barbara to produce power under a power purchase agreement. And without CalPAR, the wastewater treatment plant would have to obtain grid power at a much more increased rate. Shutting down the cogen system would result in a loss of $30,000 a month for us and closure of this cogen system. And the condition is outside our control. It's something that we couldn't, we never saw coming during this pandemic. It affected a lot of things. It affected us too in a negative way. So such taking or without correspondence benefit and reducing pollution, the closing or taking would be without corresponding benefit. Shutting down the cogen engine would require the digester gas to be combusted at the wastewater treatment plant flare. Currently, when the cogen runs, the flare is off. We take all the gas they give us to run as much as we can, generate as much electricity. So sending the biogas, closing down the plant, sending the biogas to the flare may cause to exceed their permit limits. We don't know, but I mean, it's not, flaring's not a good thing as anywhere. We put cogen systems throughout California, so we know what those, nobody wants that flare to run. Curtailment or shutting down the cogen would result in closing, CalPAR would have to close that business, and we don't know exactly know when the pandemic's gonna be over, but I would imagine, it seems to be getting better. And I would think within the next 12 months, we should be back we should be back on track. And I think for sure the digesters will be back on track probably within the next 3 months or so. So, and if we closed down, we'd be in breach of contract with the city of Santa Barbara. What we will do is we will reduce the emissions to the maximum feasible, and we'll try to augment more natural gas that will help us run at a higher RPM that will most likely enable us to pass. So until this happens, and we do this every day anyway, finding number six, applicant will monitor and report emissions. We do this on a daily basis. We have submitted on our annual reports to the air board all of these conditions that are here on the screen: operating hours, fuel usage, gas, biogas and natural gas separately, methane content of the biogas can only be done by taking a gas sample and submitting it to a lab. We only do the, that's only provided in the source test. So we're gonna have to start doing this on a monthly basis. And then it also shows the power generation level that we're running at now. I will be happy to do this on a monthly basis. And submit the monthly report to the air board. Two implicit findings, frequent gas monitoring. So until we get gas quality and gas quantity to where it normally is, we're gonna have this situation occurring. So I do believe that one of the things is an anomaly, and that was taking down the digester, which created really poor gas quality. That was one thing that was not known during our source test. They didn't tell us they were doing that. The second thing is the pandemic, which is reducing the amount of methane produced. But we're starting to slowly see it come up. It's averaging right now about 114 SCFM. It should be north of 120. Once we're north of one, and we were always getting it around 140 or 150 back before 2018. So it's a slow process coming back, but it is coming up. So I don't expect to have this situation last longer than next year's source test requirement. I know I'm gonna have to do another source test when I feel it's the right time to do it, when I see these conditions improve to a point where we think a source test will allow us to pass. So having said that, I know I'm stammered and stuff. I don't know if I was real clear, but I'm willing to take any questions, or hopefully if you have any questions, I can answer them for you, Mr. Dressler.
So does the board have, board members have, do you have any questions for Joe?
Mr. Chair, this is Lee, Mr. Cox here. I've got a couple, if that's all right.
Fine, go.
So I guess the first one I have, and maybe the county needs to come in on this too. So you are indicating, Mr. Silva, that the fuel you've received isn't to the quality that you need to be able to meet your requirements. Are they required to tell you when they're giving you poor quality fuel?
No. No, that's a condition that I have, that I typically do on a quarterly basis. I measure BTUs in the methane, and if it's above 600, I'm fine. But I'm not required to do it in the first quarter because the source test covers all that. So I didn't know what the gas quality was moving forward with the source test. Now, going forward, I've talked to the city, and they do an annual source test because of their flare permit, but they do it in September. I've asked them to do that in January and provide me the findings so that I can feel comfortable with moving forward with the source test. Normally, Mr. Cox, it's the fuel. For 8 years, the fuel quality has been fine. It's just when they took down this digester and emptied one of them and filled it up with bad gas, and that's what they provided us for the source test. They didn't tell us, but they admitted it to us after the source test had been done.
Okay, I mean, I understand that, and I understand the desire to do the source testing when you're getting good fuel. I would want to do the same thing. But I am concerned that you aren't necessarily informed when you're getting bad fuel, because it looks like when you get bad fuel, you fail your emissions, and therefore you want to make sure you only test it when you're getting good fuel, and I understand that. So I guess the question is, from an emissions perspective, how do we ensure that you're always getting good fuel so you don't have to game the system and only test it when you know you're getting good fuel?
Yeah, that's a good question. Until they take down a digester for maintenance, which is every 5 to 7 years, we always get good fuel. We did know the digester was going down, but we didn't know that they were giving us fuel from an empty digester. It was a mixture from good fuel and bad fuel, and turned out to be not so good fuel. We did not know that. It's the first time in 8 years that this happened to us. I am going to have dialogue with the city now. I mean, this variance is something that is costly to me, and it's not really my fault. It's not really the pandemic locked down all this low fuel production, but the quality of fuel basically is the city's fault. And so I'm thinking that I might have some recourse remedy to do that. And if I charge, you know, let's just say I've asked them to pay for the cost of the variance, which is expected, I don't know how much, but I've already got a $3,500 bill so far. And I've got to do another source test with this $4,800. That I'm going to seek remedy from the city for this. And I think the city will be in the future. We just have to open up better communications with them going forward. And we do have a really good relationship with city staff over there at El Estero. We knew the digester was going down, but we didn't know they were sending us gas out of the old digester. And that was an admitted mistake by the plant. That will not happen again, Mr. Cox. I can assure you that. It's not good for anybody, especially me.
I understand, Mr. Silva. I guess I maybe have a question for the chair. I know we're doing the variance because there's not enough fuel coming in. But in reality, isn't this actually two variances? One, because there was bad fuel, which caused the failure. And the other is because there's not enough fuel, which is why we're given the approval to continue to run.
I believe, Mr. Cox, that this is one variance because the rule that got violated, which had two causes to it, is one rule. It wouldn't matter whether the fuel quality, if the fuel quality fluctuates, but it doesn't cause them to go over the restrictions of the permit for as far as emissions go, then the fuel quality wouldn't be a violation.
Right. No, I understand. It's the emission thing. It looks like the first failure was due to fuel quality, and we're giving them the variant. We're giving potentially the variance to operate when he doesn't have enough fuel, right?
Well, Mr. Cox, for the last two years of the pandemic, we were passing, but just barely. It had nothing to do with fuel quality when those conditions. The last 2 years the fuel quality is just occurred because of that taking down of that one digester. That is a condition of what certainly helped cause us not passing those two parameters. But it was the biggest part of it was low fuel production. I mean, at 114 SCFM, we're barely running the engine at 400 kilowatts, you know, and we have to run it at 400 kilowatts in order for us to pass. That's where it's guaranteed to pass.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'm good.
Further questions
from the board? Mr. Chair, maybe this is as much a question for staff as it is for Mr. Silva. Really what this amounts to, and we've seen this before, We permit, the district permits sort of oriented toward expected normal operations. And what this facility is experiencing is, you know, a combination of odd circumstances that are resulting in not normal operations, and they're going to fail any testing until they're back to normal operations. So I guess for district staff, what do we do about that? Is the only choice just continued granting of variances until all of the systems are back up to normal? It seems to me we've gone through this sort of process before, when permittees experience sort of unexpected operational conditions.
Hi, Mr. Saperstein. Oh, Caitlin, were you going to go ahead?
Yeah, unless you had something you wanted to say.
Go ahead, and then I'll chime in afterwards.
This is Caitlin McNally with the district. And in this situation, I think it was unanticipated and not on the district's radar that this type of thing could happen in terms of the low amount of fuel. So it was not built into the permit. And I think that's exactly what these variants, you know, this variance process is for, is these unanticipated things that are not normal. And it's very challenging to build that into permits and kind of account for all possible scenarios. So if you'd like to direct us to look into whether we can build this into the permit, I can definitely check with our engineering division. There are some complications with, you know, achieving best available control technology, emission standards and whatnot. So I just don't have a good idea right now whether that's a possibility.
Did you want to add anything, Amy?
No, Caitlin summed it up for me. Thanks, Caitlin.
And I'm not looking to chase a bunch of theoretical conditions just for the fun of it. That doesn't serve anybody's objectives. But you know, we've seen this. We've seen where applicants come in or you know, folks requesting variances, saying similar things that, you know, they know they, for example, an engine startup, they know they can't test until they reach normal operating temperature for diesel engines, things like that, where, you know, we know that we're potentially allowing operations that will exceed permit limits for some period of time, because the alternative choice is shut down a business and achieve no meaningful air emission improvement. And sort of it's what we're faced with this circumstance. It just seems to me, though, that you know, routine maintenance of a digester, well, that's to be anticipated. Potential variations in quality and quantity of combustible gases here, you know, that's anticipated. But I understand that you know, you can't anticipate all of those circumstances. So I guess we're left with just dealing with these kinds of unusual circumstances as they come. And that's what you're suggesting, Caitlin.
So I am curious, we were not aware of the digester maintenance part of the reason for this. We were only informed about the pandemic reason, and it may be that both, I don't have a clear understanding, but it sounds like it's both that are contributing to this issue, and maybe each one by itself would not have caused the violation, but together they did. So I am curious if digester maintenance has been done previously while the cogen engine was operating and not caused a problem. I don't know, Joe, if you're able to speak to that.
Yes, I can. We've been running for 8 years over there, and they did do a digester maintenance about 5 years ago. It was not an issue for our source test then. Our fuel availability was strong, over 140 SCFM. Even though the gas quality was a little bit compromised because of the digester, it wasn't nearly as compromised as it was this time, because they inadvertently directed gas that was in an open digester that wasn't processing, it wasn't doing anything, it was just sitting there, and they sent it into our cogen system during our source test. Boom. The reason we always ask them to store gas for us during our source test, as much gas as they can, because we want to run strictly on methane. That's the way the permit was designed. We wanted to pass on methane only. And keep in mind, every other parameter of the permit passed. The CO and everything else. It's just these two things. And to be honest with you, since this is a biogas engine, and I have air permits for other cities, others in San Diego, and MMBTU per pound is not a requirement on a biogas engine, but it is here for this permit. I'm not suggesting it needs to take it off, but maybe that should be reviewed, because the engine still passes NOx and CO. And we test it every month. We sample test it every month, and we always pass. Even now, it's passing. But this 1 pound pounds per MMBTU condition that we have is where the failure occurs, and that's only because we don't have to fuel enough fuel to run it at optimum level. But it still passes even with all this, for lack of a better word, crap that's going in our going in our fuel right now. But yes, they do it about every 5 years. We're aware of it. We have another 12 years on our contract. We don't want to mess up with the air board. We try to do a really good job and do everything Amy is a bulldog, making sure that I put everything in my report that I'm supposed to. So, and I think that everything's been fine. I know that the low gas production is the number one thing that caused us to fail. It almost caused us to fail, but we passed the last 2 years. But this bad quality gas might have also been a condition that caused that to happen as well. Because if you don't have enough BTUs in your fuel, you're going to have, it's like running 84 octane gas in your car instead of 88 or 89. It's just not going to run as well.
I have a question. Were there, as a result of this violation, and this is either for Joe or for the staff, were there excess emissions in terms of tons per year of emissions of NOx?
I don't know how to calculate that. I don't think there were, but I mean, I don't know how to calculate that, Mr. Dressler.
Staff, do you have input onto that?
Excess emissions are not expected as a result of the granting of this. This is a pure emission rate calculation.
So as far as pure pounds per hour, tons per year emission rates, they remain in compliance?
Yes, that is expected.
Okay, thank you. Further questions from members of the board? Hearing none, I will ask for any further remarks from the district, and please in your remarks state whether or not you are in, you suggest that we grant this variance.
Hi, Mr. Dressler, this is Amy Long with the district. I do want to just clarify that biogas does have some natural fluctuations. I don't know how familiar you guys are with biogas. There are some natural fluctuations in that fuel source, which I think is what Joe is trying to also indicate. And we do support the variance.
All right, so that ends the questions. Is there further discussion among board members about this variance application?
Mr. Chair, I have one question. I guess it'd be for the staff. This is Lee. the variance order indicates that we're looking for biogas flow of 120 SCFM. But Mr. Silva's presentation said he needs 140.
I can clarify that, Mr. Cox. 140 is what the plant used to give us, more than that. 140 pure methane passes the engine, it passes with flying colors. But I do believe that 120 is the minimum amount of methane that I need to have to pass, if provided the gas quality comes back to normal. So, and I'm not getting 120 SCFM right now. I'm only getting about 114, 112 per month right now, average per month. So yes, you're right on both counts. The 140 was is what my target is, but I don't know if I'm ever going to see that again. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. But 120 is doable, reachable, and I wouldn't have any issues with 120 SCFM and a high BTU content in the fuel. So that's why I'm just looking. I mean, otherwise I had to do something to say, well, if I'm waiting to get to 140 SCFM before I perform a source test, we're never going to perform. I mean, it hasn't been 140 since 2018. I don't know if that'll ever come back. And I know certain things happen. There's process changes and things that wastewater treatment plants do, which affect methane production sometimes. So 120 is the minimum I need to pass the source test.
Okay, thank you. It just looked like it was a disconnect and didn't want to set you up for failure. So
no, all right. It's okay, Mr. Cox. I totally understand. I saw that as kind of a little bit of a flag there. So I was just basing my 140 on historical production levels, except for the last 3 years.
Further questions?
I lost my internet connection. I'm sorry. So if what I have to ask has been asked, please stop me. If you were able to increase your pipeline gas beyond 25%, would you be able to meet your expectations and source testing?
Most likely. However, you might not have heard that I'm limited to 25% because it's a California Energy Commission renewable energy certified project, and I can't augment more than 25%.
Yeah, so that was my follow-up, is whether CEC has any sort of a, again, because this is an unusual circumstance, a variance process by which you could increase that percentage during this time period.
The rule requires me to not blend more than 25% a month. Okay. That means that possibly I could go to 30-35%. And then lower it back down to 15% on another day. And so just as long as the month equals 25%, I'm okay. So yes, you can answer the question. There is a possibility that can happen. Typically though, natural gas has a consistent MMBTU quantity of about 1,050 BTUs per standard cubic foot, where methane fluctuates anywhere between 550 and 620. Right now, I'm at the bottom of the scale with 550. So we're not talking about SCFM that we're trying to augment. We're talking about BTUs we're trying to augment. So it can be done, but I'd have to probably do some engine retuning in order for that to happen, which is doable. It's doable. I could look into that, but I haven't had to do that ever in 8 years. And it's because of this pandemic situation. And you know, it's just been, if I don't get 120 SCFM, if I don't get 120 SCFM of methane, even with 25% augmentation, it's going to be a touch and go process.
Clearly an unanticipated consequence of this pandemic. Given the role of UCSB in providing material to this plant, do you see a normally a seasonal fluctuation with a reduction during the summer?
No, because summer is actually the tourism takes over.
Yeah.
And so we do not see that. At San Luis Obispo, we saw a big fluctuation when the campus was out. San Luis Obispo, summertime, we were struggling to find fuel. But when the campus was back in, we were fine. But in Santa Barbara, because you're such a big tourism target and the pandemic, shut down tourism pretty much, there shouldn't be an issue between those two fluctuations.
And one question just for point of information, cogeneration usually produces process heat. I'm assuming that you are putting process heat to the plant. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have a couple of boilers that maintain their digester temperatures during the digester process of curing the solids. We supply all the hot water they need, so their boilers are offline because we're running. So if we weren't running, they'd have to run their boilers, a whole bunch of other issues there. So it's a good thing for us to, not under circumstances that it's going to affect emissions, but it's a good thing for us to run.
So you're currently meeting both your electricity contract requirements and an expectation for process heat. Is that right?
Yes. And we're running at about 98% availability. Over the course of the last 8 years, we're down to about 95% availability. This is due in part to what CalPAR taking down the engine for maintenance, or the city's going through a big electrical upgrade, which will cause us to be down for a while.
Dr. Colome, I'd just like to add that the permit requires the engine to operate on less than 25% natural gas. So if that was the direction of the board for them to go ahead and proceed that way, a variance would be required for them to operate on greater than 25%.
All right. Are there further questions from members of the board? Hearing none, I'm going to open public comment on this item. Lorena, are there any requests for public comment?
Chair Dresser, we did not receive any public comments.
Okay, then I will close public comment on this item. And I'm going to bring this back to the board, and I am going to very carefully, hopefully, go over the findings and make sure that we can make these findings. And so I think I will take the lead on this. I'll go through the findings. I'll give my take of what I heard in the evidence. And when I get to the end of the findings, then we can have a discussion and anybody else can chime in and say whether or not they think that we can make the findings. And then we can go to a vote from there. So I believe it's clear that finding number one can be found because they flunked the source test with regard to those two parameters that was tested, that the applicant testified to. I think that the conditions that resulted in the violation were beyond the control of the applicant because they were not in control of how much methane gas got produced, nor were they in control of the quality of it. It was outside the control of the petitioner because they were not in control of either the amount of effluent that came into the plant, or did they have the ability to control the quality of the gas coming out of the digesters. Immediate compliance would require them to either shut down the facility or require them to violate their permit with the CEC by putting more natural gas, Southern California Edison gas, South California gas into the system. And it wouldn't be, it would be without a corresponding benefit to air quality, because if they had to shut down this facility, then the gas would have to be burned in flare anyway, resulting in emissions, flare emissions. So the gas is going to be burned regardless without the benefit of the cogeneration. I think also we heard testimony that they would, the city would also have to fire up their boilers in order to cap heat for their system. Therefore, there would be additional emissions associated with the boilers. It hasn't been, there was been no testimony about what that trade-off in emissions was, but I think that we can assume from the testimony that there wouldn't be any benefit from reduction in emissions if the cogen project shut down. The closing and taking would be without a corresponding benefit of reducing contaminants. I just addressed that. The petitioner has given consideration curtailing operations, and in their testimony said that that's not reasonable, and but they did give that consideration. To the extent possible, the petitioner would reduce emissions. I think this is an interesting finding in that there are actually no excess emissions associated with this variance. It has to do with specific requirement in the permit for an emission rate that's associated with the BTU of the gas. But as far as tons per year or pounds per hour, there are no excess emissions. We heard that testimony. And of course, the applicant then also agreed that during the period of the variance that they will monitor and record the operating hours and all the other parameters required of the permit and report them to the district. So that's what I heard in the testimony. And I believe that we can make the findings. I'll turn it over to the board for discussion on those findings. Are we there?
I'm sure. Yeah, this is Lee. I concur with your analysis.
So do we have a motion that we can make the findings and to approve the variance?
Chair, I move approval of the variance.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, Lorena, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Colomay?
I'm going to ask either a recommendation of the chair or Ms. Novat on this. I can vote yes on this based upon the written record, but given that I was off internet for much of the discussion, I'm wondering whether I should abstain as a consequence of that.
How long, I'm sorry, for some reason, I'm not coming up. In any event, how long were you off the internet?
I was off the internet. I was able to hear Mr. Silva's full presentation, but I was off the internet for most of the board discussion.
All right, but based on his presentation and what on his PowerPoint, you feel confident in your vote.
And on the written materials and the draft variants, yes.
All right, yeah, yes, I see no problem with you on both.
Then I will vote yes.
Thank you, Mr. Cox.
Aye.
Mr. Peters.
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein.
Yes.
And Chair Dressler.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone, for understanding and help. And I appreciate your decision. And I will work diligently with you guys to make sure that we get this thing back on track as soon as we can. I mean, I wish I could do something. I wish I could bring in trucks of methane, but I can't. So it is what it is, but I feel confident that within the next 6 to 12 months, we'll have our methane production back up to at least to a minimum level so that source tests can pass. I mean, the lack of production of methane has also hurt us in the pocketbook. We're not producing nearly as much electricity as we used to. So having said all that, you don't care about that, but at least it's a consistent revenue stream. And if I turn this engine off, boy, I'd be out of business.
So thank you very much, Joe. Thank you for your testimony. It was very clear and helped us to make the findings to get to provide you with this variance.
Thank you, Mr. Dressler.
All right, let's move on to the next agenda, which is the administrative agenda. Does any hearing board member wish to pull any of the items that are on the administrative agenda? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the administrative agenda?
Chair Dressler, we do have to call for public comment on this item.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll open public comment on the administrative agenda.
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comment.
Then I'll close public comment on the administrative agenda.
Thank you.
And now I'll entertain a motion on the administrative agenda.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the administrative agenda.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second on the administrative agenda. Any further discussion? Lorena, please call the roll.
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. I believe that concludes our meeting. Is there anything else from staff or the board before I adjourn the meeting? Hearing none, I adjourn this meeting till June 1st, 2022 at 9:30 a.m. Have a nice day, everyone.